Continuing with our discussion on the value and importance of history, when the last survivor of a historic event passes away, we, of course, mourn losing them as an individual, but that loss is a lot more. When living participants of history leave us, they take with them firsthand knowledge and facts. When there are no more survivors, that leaves the history open to interpretation and, well, even changed by some. The Holocaust and liberation of the Jews ended with a vow, never again. If the horrors and heroes are forgotten, can that promise be kept? My next guest is with us to tell how preservation of the reality of this time in history is taking place, along with being the winner of 7 Olympic gold medals, setting 7 world records at the 72 Olympics, 7 seems to be his number, in Munich. He's a board member and national spokesperson for the Holocaust Education Film Foundation. Mark Spitz, thanks for being here today, sir.
Well, thank you for having me.
Website that we have linked over on our page as well, but for your edification at this point in time, holocausteducationfilmfoundation.com. It's a long one, but it's easy to remember because it's an important one to remember, and hopefully you will become a part of this effort. Talk about what the mission is of the foundation, Mark, and what your goals are.
Well, it's aimed at preserving and the impactful stories of the Holocaust, as you previously mentioned, that people who have actually lived through a historic event, it's wise to be able to get their firsthand recollection. And these people are basically getting older, and as time marches on, we're dealing with people that are in their 80s and 90s, and there are few and far between now. And a number of years from now, there'll be no stories to be told firsthand. So the whole objective is to get their stories put down on film. We do documentaries, and they're full-length, basically documentaries that talk to them firsthand from their recollection, supported by films, historic films that we've been able to acquire through archives, and piece them together to tell their stories. And their stories, although they're the same theme of persecution and death and the horrific things that took place, their heroics of how they survived are unique to them. And these stories are very impactful. And so that these memories never disappear, that these events really did take place, is the whole purpose of this foundation. And I'm passionate about it. A good friend of mine, basically, who had been doing documentaries for over 30 years, came to me and said, listen, I know you have the same passion I do. Why don't we pull our thoughts together and try to, you know, contact some of these survivors, which is easy to do. And we're trying to raise money to do more and more films before there will be no more films to be able to be had, because they won't be around to be talked to, the people.
And the first one already has been produced. It's To Auschwitz and Back, the Joe Engel story, which you could see at the foundation's website. Still to come will be Surviving Birkenau, the Dr. Susan Spatz story. Surprising one if you're a fan of a sitcom from the 60s, Hogan's Heroes, From the Holocaust to Hollywood, the Robert Clary story, because ironically, Clary played a role of a prison camp occupant during World War II with the Nazis over him, and he was, in fact, a concentration camp survivor.
Yeah, his story is quite remarkable, probably because most people remember that TV series, Hogan's Heroes, but he's quite a character, a very unique storyteller. His is a special one. They're all special, to be honest with
sure.
you. And, you know, but his is quite... It hits home because people feel that they know somebody that they've seen as a TV star talking about their personal life, then it even becomes more real.
It's important, too, and well, along with the ways that you mentioned, too, Mark, but to this day, there are the Holocaust deniers, and if those imbeciles get to the next generation before facts, history, and firsthand stories do, then that just increases the odds of a lot more people slipping into, as I say, stupid mode and denying this time of history, and that's something we do not want to have happen.
Well, that's one of the objectives of producing these full-length documentaries, so that the naysayers are basically put to rest. It's real difficult, in my opinion, for somebody to see firsthand footage, you know, of things that basically took place from a historic point of view, and then categorically deny it. I mean, that would be like, you know, denying that John Glenn wasn't shot up into space and orbited to Earth for the first American, that didn't happen. We don't seem to have a problem with people believing that happened, as opposed to something that is super horrific not happening.
So Mark Spitz, who is a board member, national spokesperson for the Holocaust Education Film Foundation. Their website is the obvious, holocausteducationfilmfoundation.com. MarkSpitz.com. You can also find Mark on Facebook at MarkSpitz USA, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Reading up about the work of the foundation made me think back. Orson Welles, back in 1946, did a film. It was called The Stranger. It was a former Nazi trying to hide his past and a reporter trying to out him. It was the first American film. It was part of the story in the film to use actual footage of the Holocaust victims in concentration camps. And it just resonated with people because that was people's first exposure. Back then, 1946, we didn't have a nightly newscast, didn't have regular documentaries on TV since that was in his infancy. It's the images, it's the first hand that really provides the strongest power of the lesson, doesn't it?
It certainly does. I mean, you know, these images are very visceral. I mean, you look at them and you go, I can't believe that humanity has allowed something like that to happen. And people participated in these sort of acts. We use that footage, and we use it, you know, a lot in the storytelling of these documentaries because it's firsthand linked to what the survivors had gone through and how they've even managed to live their life in such a productive way since then. And that's a part of the storytelling and how they've been able to communicate their stories within their communities, which is pretty outstanding. It's always been in a positive way. They've not looked at it as the destruction and the bad part of it, but actually how it curbed and structured their life. Now, in a lot of instances, there's been issues of people that haven't done as well, but we're there to tell those stories as well.
That's the thing I was wondering, too, because over the years I've talked with military veterans and authors who have done compilations of veteran stories. Seems like anyone who's gone through that type of trauma has a very difficult time talking about it, which is probably why we see the rate of military suicides that we do in other situations. With Joe Engel, at least so far, with other productions still to come, does it appear that Mr. Engel understands the importance of his telling his story and what it means for the lessons and the reality it provides?
Well, he's a perfect example, a shining example of how positive, you know, things can happen for you, even in light of such tragic things when you're such a youngster. He took heroic efforts to basically survive by jumping off a train. Not that I'm trying to give away a plot that happened to him, but if he had not taken that leap, literally, this story would have never been able to have been told. And there's so many other types of stories like that that we're discovering that are not known and that need to be told, that people can make something so terrible very successful in their life.
And with that in mind, too, looking ahead, What's the growth and expansion plan for the foundation? How do you go seeking survivors? Can survivors come to you? And if so, how do they do that?
Well, you know, in just the storytelling of these films that have been now distributed, we're getting a lot of people that have inquired and say, well, you know, I have an aunt or I have an uncle that's somebody that actually was a survivor. We're getting actually organizations that basically know of where these people are, not necessarily hiding out, but that want to tell their stories. Not everybody wants to tell their stories. It's too painful, but we're happy to try to, you know, capture any storytelling.
And for the person listening right now who is really understanding of the purpose of all this and wants to help, how can they become involved and support the work that you're doing?
They can go to our website, which is pretty simple to remember if you just think of the Holocaust. And we're educating people, and it's a film foundation, so that's exactly what it is. It's Holocaust Education, filmfoundation.com.
You can make your donation with a credit card. You can also use a check or wire transfer if you prefer that means, and hopefully you'll do like I do later today, and indeed support the work of this foundation, because the foundation has two meanings. One, it's the entity that's doing the work, and also it's providing a foundation for the eternity of this history in its reality. As we talked in the earlier segment, too many people like to reinterpret history when they think the coast is clear and no one is around to counter the lies that they're trying to say. But with the work that Mark's organization is doing with the Holocaust Education Film Foundation, the truth and the facts will indeed be eternal, and that vow never again will indeed be able to be obeyed and honored. Holocaust Education Film Foundation.com is the website. You can find Mark on Facebook at Mark Spitz USA. Mr. Spitz, thanks so much for raising awareness on this issue, this time in history, the importance of remembering it. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you very much.